A gentleman who has come up with a lot of creative ideas on the special teams for the Edmonton Eskimos, or special teams coordinator, Craig Dickinson, joins us now. Craig, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks, Jason. I'm doing great. Appreciate being on.
Hey, Craig, I appreciate you coming on. I want to talk about the decision to gamble third and 10 and how it wasn't, you know, obviously when every time you make that decision, you think you're going to get it. But was part of that because you just wanted to have Winnipeg maybe think about the threat of a fake because they'd been so aggressive in previous games on special teams going after the kicker?
Well, yeah, yes and no, I guess a little bit, Jason. We felt like we could get the corner on him. It was a check with me where we basically sent in the play, and we give those guys on the punt team quite a bit of discretion to make a call based on the defensive look that they see. So, you know, it was one of those things. We knew it was 10 yards, but we felt like if we got the look we wanted, that we could get it. And even if, like you said, even if we didn't, we felt like at midfield, especially in a game that was kind of rainy and sloppy anyways, that we liked our chances of getting it. And if we didn't get it, we felt like at least we had them in their end of the field and that our defense would be able to still rise to the occasion and prevent them from going down.
So does Jordan Lynch make that call on the field? Who's the quarterback, I guess, on that play who's making that fake call?
Well, he's certainly heavily involved. You know, he's used to calling plays and calling formation. So he's the guy on that play that was checking the defense over. But really, you know, with that veteran group back there with JC and with Calvin, you know, we feel pretty good about all three of those guys back there making calls. And we kind of work together as a team on that. If Calvin sees something that gives us a chance to run a play, then he'll let me know, and then I'll spread the word along to the rest of the guys. So, we've practiced a lot of different things in the preseason, and, you know, we don't plan on using all of them, but if the situation dictates that we got a chance to run something, we're certainly going to give the guys a green light to go ahead and do it.
Well, since you and Coach Jones have come in, you guys have been a lot more active on special teams with creativity and, going for it on third down, and in a lot of cases it's worked out. Also, even that play in Winnipeg where, you know, kind of stunted, forced them to draw them offside and then ultimately got the first down. Who makes that call, and what were you seeing, or is it just kind of going by hunch that you thought you'd be able to get them to move offside?
Well, it's not much different, honestly, Jason, than a hard count on offense. Okay. When we see the defense really jacked up and really on their toes looking to pressure you, we have basically some shifts we can run where we can get them if they're a little bit over-aggressive. And that's all that was a shift. We want to see, number one, we want to see if they're covering down eligibles because, you know, you want to keep a defense honest. So when you move the eligible players out in a position where they can accept a pass, that certainly forces the defense to cover him. And then we also want to try to get any sort of over-aggressive or over-eager defensive lineman. If he's going to move on a shift, then we certainly coach our guys up to retreat and to go ahead and draw the penalty on that.
Craig Dickinson, special teams coordinator, joins us. Craig, Grant Shaw in the kicking game, 45-yard punting average. He's yet to miss a field goal for you. I know, he was joking around about obviously he's annoyed about missing some converts, but they've switched this year. But overall, from him as a kicking, field goal, and punting unit guy, pretty much, can you expect more from him? What have you liked? Is there anything you'd like to see him improve on?
You know, he's starting to really buy in to just, you know, the idea of going to work each day, getting a little better each day, and, you know, putting in the time and the preparation to give yourself your best opportunity to succeed in the game. He's had practices where he struggled, but to his credit, he's really matured and he's really shown that he can focus in on game day, and he's had a nice season so far. And but we expect that out of him. He's been in the league about 6 or 7 years now. He's always been a talented young man with great ability and great potential. So we feel like what you're seeing now is just basically what he's capable of doing, and I think he can get even better.
Craig Dickinson joins us. Craig, with the rules, we saw it kind of for the first time for you guys, flagged twice for leaving too early. Now, once, of course, was when Shaw dropped the ball. So I think that, you know, that's a tough on guys to hold it that long
absolutely on
that one. Overall, though, that hasn't been a real issue for a lot of teams, that rule change.
No, it hasn't. But, it certainly was early in the preseason. We got, I think, two or three early in the preseason. You just have to nail it in their heads, and it just takes a little bit of game experience In previous years, if you were on the front line and there was no one over you, you can just free release. And some guys, that's what you're seeing once in a while now, Jason, is a guy just reverts back to old habits when there's no one to block. He just leaves, and then that's how you're going to get the penalty. So we work it every day in practice, getting some depth, making sure we do a good job with our footwork in terms of retreating, whether we block a guy or not, and then throwing the net out. So, some, you know, like I said, most of those penalties in the game on Saturday were against Eli Nagoya, and Ellie's that was his first live action in a while, and he just fell back into a couple of bad habits. But we've talked about it. He's done a great job all year in terms of preparation, and I think he'll be much better this next game.
Yeah, I did notice it was him twice in the first game. And like I said, the second one, I'm assuming as a coach, guys are kind of taught, you kind of know the cadence and the sequence of, okay, if the snap's good, Shaw's going to take 1,000, 2,000, boom, yep. I can go. And is it more, can you hear that sound if you're one of the five guys, or is it based more on a count in your head?
It's got to be, we call that an internal clock. You can't hear the punt, and we actually don't even want our guys worrying about that. We want to focus on getting depth, making sure we do a great job blocking our man, and then when that internal alarm goes, we're taking off. So we put it on our snapper and punter, and, you know, knock on wood, they'll be better this game. You know, it was just one of those games where the ball slipped out of Grant's hand when he was punting it, but he's a good enough athlete that he's able to recover and still get it off. But it's too much to ask, Jason, we feel like, to have our guys block and try to figure out, was that the sound of the ball hitting the punter's foot? Yeah. We basically put it on them. We tell them we can get out in about 2 seconds. They got to block for two.
Okay, so yeah, that makes perfect sense. Speaking of that rule change, from a kick return setup vantage point, has it opened up new lanes that, our guys, are they that weight? Does that allow more room for the kicker and subsequently you to maybe game plan different lanes or different blocking schemes?
I think it has. I think it's opened up the return game quite a bit. What you're going to see is the initial space between the tackle through tackle area and the gunner. So now you're seeing teams with one, two, or even three gunners free releasing into coverage. So if you can do a decent job on them, you've got a lot of room. But teams, I got to give credit to the coaches around the league, that there's good football coaches up here, and guys have adapted to the rule change and gotten an extra guy out into coverage. Whereas, a year ago, you'd see consistently four fullbacks in the backfield and only one gunner. This year, you're not seeing much of that. So coaches have adapted to it, but I do believe absolutely you're seeing a little bit more room in the return game.
Craig Dickinson, special teams coordinator of the Eskimos, joins us. Craig, one injury that hasn't got a lot of talk, and I actually think it's a pretty devastating one for you guys. Sky Dawson was just starting to look like a guy who was getting comfortable understanding the nuances of the return game, and now he's out for 6 weeks. Obviously, he wasn't on the field last week. Luckily, you've got Kendall Lawrence, but just talk about Dawson's development and how much of a blow that is for you on the return game.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Jason. He was just starting to get his feet wet, starting to understand the rules, the differences in the game. He's coming from, playing down south his whole life. It's going to hurt missing him. He's got great skills in terms of catching the ball. He's got, he's got top-end speed. He's as fast as anybody out there. And, it is a blow, but we feel like Kendall's also a very good returner. He had three touchdowns last year in our return game, and he's a little different sort of guy, a little bit more of a running back as opposed to Sky, who's more of a receiver body type. But, we feel that Sky's going to be back at some point, probably around Labor Day. And, he's been in the training room getting treatment, and he's still in the meetings and still learning. But, unfortunately, he's not getting any physical work, at least for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, and that's obviously disappointing. Kendall Lawrence, him and Sky Dawson, are they different enough that you have, do you have different blocking schemes? I don't know if one guy, because obviously you just want them to hit the hole and goal, but certain guys maybe read better to the left or to the right or something. Do you change your blocking schemes even a little bit to a different returner?
We don't much. Okay. We base most of our schemes, Jason, on the team that we're playing.
Okay.
We're really based in matchups, so we try to put our best guys against their best guys, our bigger guys against their bigger guys, and we try to match up speed against speed. So, you know, if Sky or Kendall has something they really like, you know, we meet with those guys on a regular basis, and they're encouraged to sit down and watch film and actually come up with some schemes with me. But for the most part, we do what we do based on matchups of the guys covering and on tendencies that we see from the team we're playing against.
Greg Dickinson joins us, special teams coordinator. The Riders come to town. What have you seen on their special teams that's the big concern, first of all, in their return game?
You know, they play with great effort. I think they're well coached out there. Some of those guys are still there from when I was there. Their punter is fantastic. As far as their return game, you know, that's a little bit in flux right now. They've had some injuries just like we have. They started with Tristan Jackson back there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an ankle. They've used Dressler, they've used Ryan Smith, and they've used Nick Dembski, the rookie. So I think what you're going to see on Friday is a mishmash of returners back there. And they're still trying to find their groove in terms of who their guy is and who's the guy that's going to be back there on a regular basis. So we'll prepare for all three of them, and you never know. I mean, they may activate a guy that we haven't seen yet this season. So you just don't know what you're going to see, but we try to encourage our guys to do what we do and do it to the best of our ability, and we'll figure out who's back there on game day.
Any reason why you think, I know it's early in the year, that punting averages across the league are up so much higher?
You know, there's some pretty good punters in the league. I think part of it is you got a couple Americans that are up here now. Saskatchewan's got one. BC's got an American. Not that the Canadian kids can't do it just as well. We're seeing some great Canadian punting. The kid from Toronto that's the rookie, our guy's punting very well. But I think you're seeing a more of an emphasis on getting the ball downfield with some hang time just because of the fact that the tackle-through-tackle can't release. So I think you're just seeing guys really boom it. And I think also you're seeing a little less pressure than maybe you did in years past. And the third factor, I think, Jason, is just looking around, there hasn't been a lot of real wind and bad weather games with the exception of a little rain. It seems like it's been pretty mild and pretty calm in most of the games so far.
That would definitely play a part. With the change from the tackle not being able to leave, has there been more of an onus on hang time in the punting game?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now you're seeing guys put it up. And when you do get those big hang time punts, oftentimes they'll carry as well. So I just think, you know, when you look at the specialists around the league, just year in, year out, it seems like every year they're getting stronger, you know, and even guys like Maver and Grant that have been around for a while, Rob Maver and Calgary, they're punting better than I've ever seen them punt. So I think guys are just working harder in the off season because they know it's getting more competitive to have a job in the CFL. There's better kids coming up every year challenging them. And so I think you're seeing a higher quality athlete back there than you have in years past.
Craig, we appreciate the rundown. I'm a huge fan of fakes on special teams. I love gambling. I think it adds some excitement to it, and I really think keeps people on their toes. So keep going.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jason. Thanks for having me on.